30 years in the heart of downtown Chico at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 530-893-4923. And at this time, I'd like to also thank some other underwriters. I'd like to thank Robert Amendola and Associates, a law corporation providing legal representation for accident victims of any kind. Robert Amendola and Associates can be contacted at 916-924-8787. They have Hmong translation available at 916-599-0039. Ask for Mr. Yang. And also Burchard Construction, providing custom remodels, new home and commercial building from foundation to finish. Burchard Construction, where the homeowner's input matters. Custom construction with beauty and function. Bids, consultations, and employment opportunities at 530-864-5427 and at burchardconstruction.com. So let's get started with the show. I'll leave out the music this time because we have a pledge drive show and a lot of great guests, and we want to move through it pretty quickly. I do have to say, though, yesterday was Amy Goodman's birthday, so I hope that you all pledged during Democracy Now. If you didn't, then remember to do it next time, because she is a goddess. And then also I want to dedicate this program to the memory of Bill Mash. I think it's the first pledge drive since we lost Bill, but I was thinking about him this morning, and I just want to send a lot of love out to Bill's friends. I have in the studio with me Asia Bird, who has been the marketing and communications director for True North Home of the Torres Shelter since March 2020. She's passionate about the nonprofit's mission to move people forward and out of homelessness by providing services with compassion, dignity, and accountability. In addition to her work with True North, she is also a local actor, theater teacher, writer, and musician. Her professional background is in journalism, and she graduated from Chico State with her bachelor's in 2015. Asia believes in storytelling that empowers and uplifts marginalized and vulnerable folks who otherwise would be voiceless and underrepresented in our community. I want to thank you for you and Preston doing the phones today, Asia. It's really an honor to get to meet you.
Oh, yeah. No, I did it for my first time last year, and I absolutely loved it. We had so much fun. Getting to meet some folks at KZFR who I hadn't met yet, you know, or meeting people in person who I'd heard on the radio, which was super fun. So we're really grateful that, you know, you give that, you invite the nonprofits to be here, because we love doing it. So,
well, and we really appreciate it, because as you know, it's a full week to staff those phones. So anyway, folks, you can call in right now and get to meet Preston while Asia's in here. 530-895-0131. You know, Asia, I wanted to spend our time together asking you a little bit about what I think people might want to know. We've all heard about the Torres shelter and its emergency housing, but we don't really, now the handle is True North Housing Alliance, and that might be vague for people. They may not know the extent of your services. So can you talk about what your work is?
Yeah, I would love to do that. So, and of course this happened, you know, we were known as the Chico Community Shelter Partnership was our umbrella name. Even back when we founded the Torres Shelter in 2003 when we opened. But Torres Shelter was our name that was out there. And so right before the pandemic, we unveiled our True North Housing Alliance name. And then, of course, pandemic happened. And, you know, so it's been trying to get the word out that we're the same people, you know. So we have the reason why we are True North Housing Alliance, and we say that's the home of the Torres Shelter. Obviously, the Torres Shelter is our longest program. It's open 24/7. 365 days a year. It's our service enhanced shelter that we have, but we also have housing programs, and a lot of people don't know that. One of our housing programs is specifically for families with children as well. We have transitional housing and permanent supportive housing. So we also have a partnership that's a rapid rehousing partnership with Chico State as well. So that kind of encapsulates, you know, the fact that we have a lot of different services. And last year we served over 760 people across all of our programs. And those are people we're providing shelter and or housing to. So
yeah, that's much appreciated. So we've had some pretty draconian years here with the unhoused, and they've been stigmatized and criminalized. And it's just, it's really, really heartrending when you don't know what you can do. How are people in need of accessing your services getting to you, and what are they experiencing at the Torres shelter?
Yeah, so we actually have, I'm glad you asked this question, because, you know, obviously we want to make sure people know how to access our services. So every day between 2 and 6 p.m., we have intake, which is essentially where people can walk into the shelter and say, I need help. And they will meet with one of our staff members who, you know, asks them questions, figures out how we can help them. And that might be referring them to another service if maybe the Torres shelter isn't the right place for them, or getting them into our programs and getting them a bed and three meals a day and case management, which is one-on-one with each person, working on their stability, income, which could be maybe programs they don't know they qualify for, or helping them get a job, as well as, of course, housing. And so that happens every day, 2 to 6 at the Torres shelter. You can just show up, or you can call us ahead of time. Our phone number is 530-891-9048. We also have social media, and that's been some way that people feel comfortable reaching out to us. They can find us on Facebook or Instagram, and that's under our organization, True North Housing Alliance, or email us. And then as well as that, we also are, we have an expanded street outreach program that is launching, and we think that that'll be a really, really big, helpful way to, you know, connect with people who otherwise maybe don't know about our services or have a lot of questions about it. And the goal there obviously is to reduce those barriers to accessing services. And so we will actually be going out to local encampments. And of course, we're coordinating with our other partners who are doing street outreach in the community, you know, other organizations, to make sure we're working collaboratively for that as well.
I think that's going to help a lot.
Yeah.
And especially so that people know you also have ADA compliant bedding for people.
Absolutely.
That was an important point that I just learned today.
Yeah, and we have a lot of, unfortunately, our senior population has grown at the shelter. We're seeing that trend, and it's not just local. You know, this is a trend elsewhere as well. And a lot of our folks, you know, they use wheelchairs or walkers. And so, you know, that's very important to us and always has been. But obviously, especially making sure we're keeping up with making sure we can accommodate everybody is very important. So,
yeah, it really is. And I appreciate that. So I know that I've heard about people that make food for you guys, and you probably need other volunteers, you need supplies. How can the community help you?
Yeah, so we actually have a web page on our website. So it's truenorthbutte.org. You can find information about how to help there, but we also have a volunteer form. There's different ways that people can volunteer. You could obviously also call us or send us a message if you're not sure. You're like, I didn't get the full name of the website. But we are always looking for groups of people who want to come in and provide and serve meals, and we have a full kitchen there, so you can bring the supplies and cook right there. And our guests really, really love it. One of our favorite parts of the day is when people come in to volunteer and serve food, and they all clap. They love it so much. It's a really great way to connect with the community for them and for the volunteers too. We also often need people to help with our fundraisers or events that we have. So if you're like, oh, I can't do like a big meal, or maybe you have some other expertise, you could help with an event, you know, special skills volunteers. So for example, if you're a hairdresser and you want to give back and come in and offer free haircuts to people who would need that, or maybe they love their hair, their beard, but they're like, I got a job interview, I want to clean it up a little bit, you know, or people want to do yoga classes. Those are kinds of volunteers we're looking for too. And again, you can always call us or email us, but our website, and that's truenorthbutte.org /volunteer, or just go to the website. You can find out more about that too.
I want to thank you so much, Asia Bird, for all of your work. You really articulate that so beautifully.
Thanks.
I love your enthusiasm. And I know that one of the reasons that you're here today is to help us with the KZFR Spring Pledge Drive. I know you're a radio person. You have DJed before on the campus station. So what do you personally feel about KZFR and the importance of people supporting the station.
Yeah. I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, me personally, I just love tuning into KZFR because even though I've been listening to it for years, I always hear something I haven't heard before. And I'm like, what is this? Whose show is this? Oh my gosh, I love what they're playing. And it's a really great way to discover for me, you know, music that I haven't heard before, right? I also really love that KZFR is a community radio, right? So this is our radio. This is our town's radio. You know, this is our community's radio. And it's invested in the community. KZFR is invested in our community and talking about important issues in our community as well. And that's just so important, right? Because that's how we can solve or try to solve, right? Or get better at solving really complex issues like the work that we do at the tourist shelters by having that community. So...
yeah, we've had a lot of discussions here on the Peace and Justice Program about the unhoused and about solutions and about, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's lasted now for years and it seems like it's fairly intractable. But there are a lot of providers. There are got a lot of good people out there. And same with KZFR folks. I mean, we are sort of a family of a community within community within community. It's sort of like nesting dolls, you know. And we want to have more people included, more people who care about this work, people who want to serve on our committees, who want to be DJs like you have been in the past. I was trying to talk her into coming back in. You know,
never say
back
never.
I know. But, you know, you can give to KZFR today. It's the last day of the pledge drive. The best way, of course, is to call in because that would be most helpful to us. But we have one phone line busy right now, so I won't say that number, but you can go to Venmo at KZFR901, and you can also text Pledge KZFR to the number 44321, or you can go to our website kzfr.org/donate. So those are the different ways. And then pretty soon here, there's Tim Kemper out there. He's got a line open, 530-895-0131. Do you have any last words for our listeners about whatever you're thinking as a result of this conversation?
I want to say thank you. I love being on KZFR. I love that you gave a shout out to Bill. Bill was a dear friend of mine, and the first time I ever came on KZFR was because of Bill. He's just really lovely person. And he's also obviously been a big advocate in support of the tourist shelter as well. I would love to invite people to our 25th anniversary pop-up. It's been 25 years as our organization. It's free. Come on by May 19th. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Anytime you want to come by the tourist shelter, 101 Silver Dollar Way. We're going to have food, art, activities, a garden installation, and more. Come celebrate with us.
Thank you, Asia Bird. Thank you for your work.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you to the True North Housing Alliance for having you guys here at the station to take these calls.
We love KZFR.
Yeah, so call up and you will be able to speak with Asia yourself. 530-895-0131. I'm going to do a music break now, and you will hear Jim Brobeck here, recorded by Bill Mash, somewhere on a creek. And love, love, love. Surround us all. Here we go. Okay, for some reason I'm not getting the sound, so that's too bad. I'm going to just put on a Dave Rovick song here to do my transition, and then be right back with you.
One, two, three, four. First you have to have a problem. That part isn't hard. The second step is everybody realizing they're like you, they're holding the same card. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do and everything can change. so quick. The congressmen and businessmen and TV sets will try hard to make sure it isn't so. You don't have a problem. If you do, it's not the same problem. And if it is, well, there's just nowhere you can go. But that many times the history is rich, though we easily forget how a meme can take hold and grab you, how it can spread out like a net, and everything can change so quick. They'll say we are lost or we're dreaming, or they'll make a dream for us. They'll try to come up with a good story about why we belong at the back of the bus, about why we belong in this position, about how we don't know what we meant, about how there most certainly isn't any such thing as the 99%, but everything can change
so fast. So that was David Rovics, and I have on the line with me a very special person. Her name is Chrissy Kirchhover. She is the outreach consultant for the National War Tax Resisters Coordinating Committee. She embarked upon the path of war tax refusal soon after reading information from the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee about how one can approach it and meeting people who are practicing it in various forms. Since working with the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, she has been inspired by the robust community of war tax resisters, their support of each other, and the many ways they implement change in the world. Chrissy lives in St. Louis, where she is today, and she is working on starting the Dick Gregory Catholic Worker Community. Welcome to KZFR, Chrissy.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, Chris. Really excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, and I'm sorry it's such a short little window that we have, because tax day is coming up on Tuesday, and you know, people around the country who are opposed to using their wages to pay for wars and nuclear weapons and U.S. military bases around the world that are worsening climate catastrophe, killer drones, the whole military-industrial complex. People are agonizing about their taxes, and some people will be on the streets, like we will be leafleting on Tuesday at the post office here in Chico, California. So your organization, which we shortened to NewTRIC, is at the center of the discernment, education, and resistance work. And you have been really a reliable partner with people of conscience who were over these years. And can you talk about your work and what you'll be doing this week?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Chris. I'm really excited that we at NewTRIC have been hearing from people throughout the U.S. who will be taking action this coming tax day, from Maine to the Bay Area. There's been over 20 communities that we've heard from who will be out in the streets, leafleting, going to weapons manufacturers and their communities, writing letters to the IRS, but all of it is to raise awareness that close to half of our tax money goes towards war making. And so, yeah, as you said, people agonizing over it. Part of going out and raising this awareness is for us to imagine what it is we would rather be doing with this tax money. The important thing about tax day, while some might be redirecting money in their communities and not paying for wars and investing that into their communities, it's important to remember that the key here is that everybody can participate in tax day actions. It's to raise awareness within the general community about where the money is going, and also to imagine what it is we would like to spend money on. So, you know, instead of war paying for healthcare, instead of war paying for housing, instead of war paying for climate mitigation, I recently heard that in California, the flooding in January attributed to about $30 billion. That's the same amount of money that the U.S. spends on nuclear weapons. So trying to make those connections and see what we could be doing in our communities with that money instead.
Yeah, I know when you do those kind of guns or butter comparisons, it becomes really clear about what a waste of money it is. And I appreciate you including that, because, you know, I would I just talked to a homeless advocate, and, you know, people don't need to be sleeping on the streets, you know. They don't need to be living in total misery. You know, there is money for housing for everyone, but we're spending it instead on wars.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, it's the myth of scarcity that is being fed to us. And so looking at that, there is abundance, and these are our resources. This is hardworking money, as you said. You know, I understand that there's still people who have been unhoused in the Chico area from the fires. So it's, you know, there's something about the fierce urgency of now as well, you know, to make these changes and to be empowered in the choices that we have.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit. We don't have enough time to really talk about Wartex resistance itself, but tell people about how to find out the information that they need. Like somebody asked me yesterday, you know, it seems really unfair that you're not paying taxes, you know, but, you know, I said, I've supported the Peace Tax Fund bill for, you know, well over 40 years now, you know, and that would allow people to pay their fair share of taxes without a percentage of it going to the military. But that is, that aside, there's so many resources. Can you talk about your website?
Sure. And I think that seems really important to mention, Chris, because, you know, here in the U.S., we spend more money on weapons and militarism than any other country. We also have a lot of leverage in resisting our taxes that people throughout the world do not in the same way. So on our website, we have a plethora of information about how some people have approached war tax resistance, some of the many issues that people look at in terms of, you know, how it impacts relationships. And there's really a lot of information that I would encourage people to look at our website, which is www.nwtrcc.org, which stands for the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee. So there's a lot of information on there, and we know that a lot of people seek that information in ways that maybe in the past we did tabling, but that there are a lot of people who are going there and finding information. We have videos about War Tax Resistance 101, kind of a general introduction. And so trying to do a lot of different ways of communicating through not just our website, but on social media, which is all there too on our website, connected. But I would also encourage people, though, with that information, sometimes it can be a lot. So even to reach out to people in the community, there's a list of counselors that they can reach out to, or also at the NewTrick office, which information is on our website. I also did want to mention, though, that we're really excited. NewTrick is in its 40th anniversary, and we'll be having a gathering in at Joyfield Farms in Indiana in 3 weeks. So that'll be a hybrid conference, which will also have elements online.
Yeah, I have the newsletter in front of me, and it's 40 years of resistance, and 40 years of, you know, the resisting war after war after war, you know, so much love and sisterhood, you know, over these years. And you do a blog, I'm talking to Chrissy Kirchhofer of the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee. She's the outreach coordinator, and your last piece is called Beauty Will Save the World. And I agree with you. I mean, it's just, you know, if you love, you see the beauty in the world and you want to save it. And maybe you could say just a minute more about that, because I just want to not cut you off because everything's so abbreviated today. Normally we get longer interviews.
I appreciate you saying that, Chris. I think I've just been amazed by the network and the strength of the people in it, and being able to catch courage from each other, as has been mentioned by a war tax resistor who inspired me. And so I think, you know, even within this network, or talking with people, that we continue to, through our love and embrace of what's important to us and relationships, we're able to take steps a little bit further out of our comfort zone. And so I think, you know, that's an important part of the vortex resistance, so that it's a really tight web of people supporting each other and holding on to that vision of a better world where beauty, I believe, will save us.
Yeah. I love that about you and the work that you're doing there. And right now you're in St. Louis. Before that, it was Milwaukee that where the coordinator was. And so I'm so appreciative for the 40 years of National Vortex Resistance Coordinating Committee. I know it's helped me as a vortex resistor. So Chrissy Kirchhofer, I know that you also support community radio, and your local station I looked up is KDHX in St. Louis. Why do you support community radio, and why should listeners call in right now to support us at KZFR at 530-895-0131?
Well, I personally support KDHX and community radio, but I also realize that you have a special gem in KZFR there in the Chico area, because it's not only just it's a comprehensive community radio in which it's not just music, but there's also programming, talk, ways of engaging the community that I know people in the community turn to have that connection with each other and their community, and that they can participate in it, be with programming and also essentially with financial support to the radio station.
Yeah, and it's, you know, this show's been on since 1992, since the Iraq War. This program, of course, we don't just talk about war all the time or weaponry or those things, but we also talk about the justice issues of our community. You know, we talk about the rights of other sentient beings, you know, the animals that live alongside of us, the earth itself, you know, the climate. We have other public affairs programs too, which I strongly support here at KZFR, because part of our mission, of course, is education. And so I think by having people on from around the country like yourself there in St. Louis, it's just it's such a gift to be able to talk to you and to have your voice on our airwaves, you know, to be able to have that connection.
Well, it's interesting, Chris, because it is reciprocal. You were playing David Rovix before I came on, and I was aware that he was in concert there in Chico area with KZFR a couple months back. And so we also benefit from your community radio and my community. And so I think that, you know, is at the essence of building these webs. But also I'm a firm believer that those in the arts, you know, in these fields are really the visionaries of this world in which we want to be building on. And so, you know, it's uplifting for the spirit to have that community radio that you can turn to regularly.
Yeah, really. So folks, please call. We have empty lines right now. As I look out, folks are not on the phone. 530-895-0131. Call and give your support to KZFR Community Radio on the last day of our pledge drive. We hit our original goal, which I'm so appreciative of, because it takes some of the heat off, but we would like some cushion, because you never know, like during COVID, we were not making our goals, you know. So while you can, if you can, whatever amount you can, please call and pledge your support to KZFR 530-895-0131. You know, last thing I think I want to ask you about, this is just, we only have a minute, but Chrissy Kirchhofer of the National Vortex Resistance Coordinating Committee, you're also in the Catholic Worker Movement, and you're naming your new Catholic Worker House after Dick Gregory. So in a heartbeat, can you tell us about why you chose him? Because I loved him. He's so great.
Yeah, and I guess it's still a communal decision to name the house, but that's what I've been calling it. I've really received so much inspiration from Dick Gregory. His view on the world and his ability to use comedy as a disarming tactic, which is, to me, like this, it's an art form. It's a brilliance, and just not just his comedy and his commitment to civil rights, but also really seeing the body as kind of a vessel, or just, you know, a place of divinity, I guess, or just to honor our body and, you know, to, I think of that not just personally, but then in the wider world. And so, you know.
Yeah.
Honoring.
Yeah, how it all is together. There's the human body and the community body, and that encompasses, of course, the global community. And we all, at some point, are going to have to look at security and harmony among all of us, because the planet is getting smaller and smaller. So anyway, yes. Chrissy Kirchhofer with National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, thanks for being my guest today on the Peace and Justice Program here in Chico, California. We love you.
Love you too. Thanks again, Chris, for having me on. And
peace.
Peace.
All right. So, folks, support KZFR, last day. If you could, please pledge at 530-895-0131. We won't bug you again until next fall. What a relief, huh? Yeah, we would love that. All right, I'm going to get another person on the East Coast on the line with me. I'm going to try again to do this Jimmy Brobeck song, and I don't know what I was doing wrong, but maybe it'll work this time. You never know. So let's try it. Here we go. I don't know. I'm not hearing it through the headset. Maybe you hear it out there in radio land, but I don't. Let's see. That's so too bad, because I can see it. I can see the screen, but now I can't even escape from the screen. All right, so let's do David Rovics again. Okay, sorry about that. You might get tired of it. I don't, but here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4. First you have to have a problem. That part isn't hard. The second step is everybody realizing they're like you. They're holding the same card. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do, and everything can change. So quick. Businessmen and TV sets will try hard to make sure it isn't so. You don't have a problem. If you do, it's not the same problem. And if it is, well, there's just nowhere you can go. But that many times, the history is rich, though we easily forget how a meme can take hold and grab you, how it can spread out like a net, and everything can change. So they'll say we are lost, or we're dreaming, or they'll make a dream for us. They'll try to.
All right, I'm sorry. That was David Rovics again, same song. And I have on the line with me Helen Jackard. She is the project manager of the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule project, which is a wonderful project, which I made all kinds of notes about, but I'm going to let Helen tell you. She'll do a much better job of it a little bit. Just a nutshell, though, Helen Jackard, about the Golden Rule and about what you're doing right now.
Well, a brief history for those of you that don't know about us yet. The Golden Rule sailboat was used in 1958 to try to stop nuclear weapons testing. And they succeeded in getting a movement started that was so big that President Kennedy was able to sign the Limited Test Ban Treaty of 1963. And this success sparked the founding of Greenpeace in 1971 with the same tactic. And we've been, then the Golden Rule was sold in Hawaii and, restored from 2010 to 2015. And we sailed up and down the West Coast for 5 years, all around the Hawaiian Islands for 2 years. And now we're on this very important voyage around the entire eastern half of the United States.
Yeah, and it's just amazing. I went to your website and I saw you have an interactive map that shows where you are, and it's very interesting, and people can find out about it by going to VFP, Veterans for Peace, VFP, GoldenRuleProject.org. And what is the goal of your work? I know you mentioned a little bit about the original going to the Marshall, trying to get to the Marshall Islands back during the testing there, the nuclear testing. So it has always related to nuclear. But how about now? What are you telling people about in communities all over the Americas?
Well, right now we're working on an educational program to raise awareness about the possibility of nuclear war and what people can do to stop that possibility, as well as we also raise awareness about nuclear energy, uranium mining, and anything having to do with radiation. So when we get to one of our 100 ports of call along the Great Loop, they call it, then we stop and give educational presentations, tours of the Golden Rule, which is very colorful. It's got a bright red sails, one with a giant 6-foot diameter peace sign and another with a giant logo of Veterans for Peace on it. So you can't miss seeing our boat when it's in the harbor. And for all of these places along the eastern seaboard, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for people to come see the Golden Rule.
Yeah. Yeah, right now you're in the Washington Channel, just outside of Washington, D.C., so hopefully you're getting a lot of visibility there.
Yes, and being in the nation's capital made it a wonderful opportunity for us to pass out to every member of Congress and Senate the Veterans for Peace Nuclear Posture Review, which is a review of the United States' relationship with all of the rest of the nuclear-armed countries and possibilities for how we can use negotiations and try to bring an end to the nuclear arms race that's currently underway.
Yeah, and there couldn't be a more important time right now with the war in Ukraine and the threat of escalation. So I'm really glad you're there. What has been the response of people to both the boat itself, which obviously is beautiful, but but to your message?
Well, and wherever we dock, people are curious about the Golden Rule. What's this all about? And then they hear about it and they go, this is really great that people are working on ending nuclear weapons. And so they're very supportive. The only things that people say that we need to properly deal with is those that have no hope and think that we're just going to be, blown to a pile of smithereens. And what we have to do is say, look, if everybody believes that disarmament is possible, then it's more likely to be possible. So when you think about your hopelessness and maybe change that into thinking that it could happen and that might help you or others to work towards that happening. So we're working in Congress right now to get them to support HRES 77, which is about the United Nations Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, as well as other measures to make us safe from nuclear war in the meantime.
I don't even know about that legislation, but it supports the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which already makes nuclear weapons against international law. I mean, it's part of international law that these weapons are banned, just like nerve gas or landmines or cluster bombs. I mean, it's just these nuclear nations like our own that are trying to ignore the fact that it's illegal, right?
Well, and it's fairly recent. The language was only approved in July of 2017, and the last necessary ratification only happened in 2022. So, 2021. We've had two anniversaries since it came into force. So it's not that long ago. And what we're working on now is shaming the countries that still have nuclear weapons, and also on how to make it enforceable in our own country by saying, let's not bank in banks that give money to nuclear weapons production, and let's not do business with companies that make nuclear weapons. Let's get our pension funds in our cities and states to divest from companies, in, you know, so they're not invested anymore in companies that make nuclear weapons. And some of that's starting to take hold. Whole cities and pension funds are starting to say yes to divesting from nuclear weapons companies. And, you know, over time, this is going to have quite a good effect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I'm speaking with Helen Jacquard. She is the Veterans for Peace Golden Rule Project project manager. And she's also, you know, crewing and speaking and going everywhere around this country. They just do this. They're still in the middle of this big loop around the eastern half of the United States, you know. And I was wondering, before we move on, I want to ask you really quick, what banks in particular are you talking about that have invested in nuclear technology and war?
Well, if you go to don'tbankonthebomb.org, you're going to be able to find a list. I know that one of the banks I had done business with is Wells Fargo, Bank of America. A lot of the big banks will fund... they'll give loans to companies that are working with nuclear weapons. And it's most of the big banks and, of course, most of the big pension funds. So it's a little hard to tease out, but Don't Bank on the Bomb is what to look for. And they've got these lists of what you want to divest from.
Hmm. So, folks, if you are armchair crew, since we're on the West Coast here, we can't really do much with the Golden Rule right now, although they spent much of their time in the 2017 and 2018 on the West Coast of the United States. They are now on the East Coast in Washington at this point. But you can go to the VFP GoldenRuleProject.org to learn more, and also how you might support, because they definitely need support. But Helen, one of the reasons I asked you on was to ask you also about what you would say. I know you're from, you and your husband live in Lake County here, are just to the south of us. Why do you support KZFR? I know you're a listener.
Oh, yeah, we are. Well, we love small community radio stations because you get so much more information that's local and much more interesting information, at least to me, than you get on the big channels that all seem to be mostly like same talking heads as you would see on TV. So, you know, I think everybody should support you.
Yeah, me too. I want to give the number. It's 530-895-0131. Please call. We have a line open, and we would love to take your pledge. And this is the last day, and for me, the last 15 minutes of this pledge drive. So we'd love your support. I am trying to make my contribution to KZFR by asking for your money during the Peace and Justice program. And I am honored to be talking to Helen Jacquard and to be supporting the Golden Rule. They came and spoke at the Chico Peace and Justice Center a number of years ago and got to see their slideshow and just be gobsmacked by everything that they told us about. It was just amazing, the work that you're doing, Helen. I really appreciate you very much.
Well, I'm so happy to have a chance to talk to your listeners again. And, you know, I'd be happy to give you updates as time goes on. You know, this nuclear posture review is a big deal to be able to finally give it to all the members of Congress and, you know, use diplomacy instead of threats in order to get everybody to get rid of their nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Yeah, the work, you know, there's no more important work in the world, actually. I mean, I know that a lot of people are focused on climate catastrophe right now, and I completely get that, but nuclear war is closer even than that. So thank you so much for your work. We really, really appreciate you.
Oh, my total pleasure.
Right. Peace, Helen. Bye.
You too. Bye, Chris.
All right, folks, we only have, like I said, 15 minutes left. I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to pledge during the last public affairs program of this pledge drive, 895-0131, or Venmo at KZFR901, or the website kzfr.org/donate. So just a quick announcement before I get our next guest on the line. There is going to be a multicultural and international community festival on April 20th, 10 to 5 p.m. at the BMU Auditorium, with all kinds of ethnic food and all kinds of fun events, and it's going to be great. We used to do this outside, but it's going to be at the BMU on April 20th, 10 to 5, Multicultural and International Community Festival. So please come out for that. And I'm going to get our last guest on the line. I think you'll recognize her voice. Let me see if I can get this computer audio working for me this time with a song by John Michelson. If not, you're going to hear David Rovics again. But here we go.
We have the power to change our lives, but it's gonna take sacrifice. Life is like this, nothing is for free. Your time is precious, but so is love and peace. Stand up on your feet, join the revolution in the streets for peace. Together as one. It's time to stand up on your feet, join the revolution in the streets for peace. List and start anew. Make love and peace the number one thing to do. I know it ain't easy, you gotta change your plans.
All right, so John Michelson, a wonderful local artist, musician, and I have on the line with me former co-host here for 16 years on the Peace and Justice program, Laurel Yorks, and she's also the co-founder of the Chico Peace Alliance, and she's on the steering committee of the Chico Peace Alliance and part of the education working group. Welcome back to your show, Laurel.
It's always great to be with you, Chris, especially during pledge drive, because I don't know really what so many of us in our community would do without the Peace and Justice program on KZFR. It's, you know, you've been there since the beginning of KZFR with peace and justice issues and news and information. And you're still there. And there was a 16-year or more, interruption where you had other people doing the show. But peace and justice has been on our airwaves here in Chico and the northern Sacramento Valley, and now beyond on the internet for I don't even know how many years. What is it, like
since 92, I think.
I don't know. It started in 91, I believe.
Well, the station did, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. A long, long time, and it's still there, and it's just unbelievable. I really think, Chris, that peace right now, nuclear issues, conflict, international conflict, those issues, they really have taken a back burner, it seems, to in the progressive, to climate change, mm-hmm. really important issues, to police, mistreatment, police violence. These are all important issues. And without a Peace and Justice Center anymore, our community, where would we be hearing about issues such as nuclear proliferation, issues on the, you know, school boards demonizing teachers? Where would we be hearing these kinds of issues, without a Peace and Justice Center, except for KZFR and the Peace and Justice Show? And thank you so much for sticking with it for so long. I really, really, it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we have you.
Yeah, and you bring up an important point is that, you know, I feel really tender about so many issues, what's happening for kids right now and about gun violence and, you know, all these issues. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a myriad of issues. But, you know, there are some that I still stick to about the nuclear threat because those are the ones that could destroy all of our attempts, you know, right now if we're in struggle, if we're in disharmony, you know, if we're an outright confrontation, then, you know, that's where we're at. But nuclear would put an end to all of it. So that's why I kind of get stuck. You know, I'm in the Chico Peace Alliance. I'm in the War and Militarism Working Group, whereas you're in the Education Working Group. And so yours is also really important because you're working on counter recruitment and bullying and a lot of other things. Can you talk a little bit about the Chico Peace Alliance and how we are trying to move the dial having all kinds of different areas that people can get involved in?
Yeah, I mean, originally, I think we've had a pretty low profile over the last, it's been almost a year now that it's been the Chico Peace Alliance. And we have gotten together people who were volunteering with the Chico Peace and Justice Center, people who are interested in issues of peace and justice, kind of felt that void when the Chico Peace and Justice Center closed, and we needed to continue on with working for peace and justice in our community, in our world, but from our community, with people in our community that are concerned. And so in a way, I just think we need to really up the profile of peace work in our community. And one of the things that we talked about doing was that, you know, should we just focus on peace, or, you know, there are other issues in our community that are important, but they seem to be addressed by, you know, numerous organizations that are working on homelessness, that are working on all kinds of issues locally. What should we do? Should we focus on peace? And really, how big of a group do we have? And how much can we do is always, you know, the issue. I think two of our working groups have really come up in the last year out of it and kind of established themselves as working on issues that are important for our community, and that is the War and Militarism Group and also the Peace Education Group. Initially, when we were talking about a peace education group, it was to bring peace into the schools, to, you know, that would be like peace art, you know, on school campuses, peace polls, just the peace vibe, make room for peace on the campuses of our local schools, our community schools. And that was such a modest, you know, goal when you consider the attack that our schools, our public schools, are under at this point, you know, politically, as a cultural war brought on by the right. It's just, it's horrifying, actually, to think about all the work that needs to be done. One of the first things we did was to work on the school board election, because
right,
those have often been ignored in the past because it's just the school board, right? Just in quotes.
Just.
yeah, just. Well, that's, it's turning out to be a very important factor in the way our schools are run. And it's a tool that the right is using in their cultural war. I think, and I'm not even sure what the goal is, why they are using, issues that bringing these issues against teachers and against administrators in the schools, except to destroy public education, ultimately. I mean,
I think that's it.
Seems,
yeah,
like it's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that has really come up, you know, in the past 10 months or so. And so we've continued working on counter recruitment, We've been working on getting counter-recruitment ideas, ways to get to students so that they're talking about other options besides the military once they graduate, and trying to make that possible. And getting involved in social justice committees, such as the one that they have in the Paradise School District, it's just an amazing thing where the administrators, the superintendent, everybody, teachers, parents, students, everybody has come together on the social justice committee to talk about issues in the schools of social justice. And it's just an amazing thing. And it's happening in Paradise.
Yay.
It's not happening in Chico. So, you know, who would think?
Laurel, but, I need to stop you because we're running out of time, and Bill LeBlanc's in the house. He's going to be doing Democracy Now. I have Laurel York on the phone with me. York's on the phone with me, and I want to thank everybody who has pledged during the Peace and Justice program today. I want to thank Kathy, the two Kathys, with a K and with a C, Jim, Leah, Kathy, our Kathy Faith, Linda Morrison Ori. I'm not supposed to say last names. Lynn Gonzalez, I'll say all the names. Jean Andrews, Gail Watson, Sheldon Prazer, and Sherry Cowan, as well as Kathy Walker and Kathy Webster. Thank you to all of you. But, Laurel, we have one more minute, and I want to make sure that you get to tell people how to find out about the Chico Peace Alliance, because I would love more people involved.
That is quite a list. Thank you all, folks, for supporting Peace and Justice on our on KZFR. ChicoPeaceAlliance.net is the website. You can go there and get more information. If you want to get a copy of the newsletter, send an email to ChicoPeaceAlliance@yahoo.com. And we have a meeting, our next general meeting. You're totally invited to come on Saturday, April 29th, 10:30. At 1601 Hemlock, right here in Chico. It's where the Quakers meet, and Quaker Meeting Hall. And we'll try to have our meetings outside with the weather getting better. And so we'd love to see you there. That's April 29th, Saturday at 10:30 a.m.
Thank you, Laurel.
There, and let's work on all of this together as a community.
Thank you so much for coming back to do this with me today. I appreciate you so much. Peace to you.
All right.
Take care. All right, bye-bye. So I'm going to thank our underwriters and then let Bill get on with Playing Dead. And thank you so much to everyone who supported on the Peace and Justice program. It's not too late to call in another pledge, 530-895-0131. And I'd like to thank FarmStar Pizza, where the farmer is the star, using locally sourced products to support our community agriculture. Sunday Jazz Brunch returns to Farm Star with live music from 11 to 1, along with breakfast pizzas and mimosas at 2359 Esplanade in Chico. Open every day for lunch and dinner. Details on Facebook and at farmstarpizza.com. And also another great event that's coming up, the Butte Environmental Council, which is hosting the Endangered Earth event on Saturday, April 22nd in downtown Chico. The event kicks off at 9 in Children's Park with the Walk for Earth and Rally. Followed by a variety of climate action projects around Butte County. At 5 p.m., it's the Environmental Community Gathering at the Rose Garden at 545 Vallombrosa, with music, refreshments, informational booths, demonstrations, and activities for all ages. You can find out a lot more about it at www.becnet.org. And again, I want to thank you from my heart to your heart for supporting during the Peace and Justice program, supporting KZFR, all the shows, all of us. Thank you. It's just not about this show. Anyway, love to you all. Have a wonderful weekend.
It's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM Community Calendar with me, Mark Baker. Today will be the Big Global Latch On, a celebration of breastfeeding, from 10 a.m. to noon at the Enloe Conference Center. Started in 2005 by the Women's Health Action in New Zealand, this annual event takes place at registered locations around the world to protect, promote, and support breastfeeding families. Participate by breastfeeding your baby alongside other mothers. Loved ones are welcome to attend, and members of Enloe's Mother and Baby Education Center will be on hand to provide resources to help empower families. Learn more at enloe.org/events. The Enloe Conference Center is located at 1528 Esplanade in Chico. On Saturday, we'll be of Water and Wind, a Chico State Choral Concert starting at 7:30 p.m. at the Harlan Adams Theater. Join the a cappella choir and chamber singers for an evening of songs invoking the four elements, from Renaissance madrigals to contemporary choral settings. The Harlan Adams Theater is located in the Performing Arts Center on the Chico State campus. And on Sunday, the Mount Lassen chapter of the California Native Plant Society and Friends of the Ahart Herbarium are co-sponsoring a wildflower show and native plant sale from noon to 4. Wildflowers and other native plants will be displayed, and native plants, books, t-shirts, and posters will be sold. There will also be several educational exhibits and activities for children. The Card Community Center is located at